have a cell phone, this is a good time to turn it off, unless you are family members of Taya, in which case, please text them to find out if they're on their way. Thank you. So where did your story begin? And I don't mean this in a literal biological sense, but if you were to tell someone the story of your beginning, where would you start? One unforgettable beginning story that I heard from a parishioner at a church where I had served before, and I got to know him through as a volunteer through our ministry to the homeless. Paul, not his real name, he was a really likable guy. He was kind, a little quirky, 25 years sober, and he showed me his AA pins, and he told me that he would tell me one day how it all began. To get to the beginning of his story, Paul told me about the chaos in his life that preceded it. He described how he was introduced as a young child to hard liquor, and he described a young adulthood that spiraled quickly downward into addiction. The more he drank, he said, the more his life unraveled, and the more painful that his life became, the more dependent he became on drink. Life got unbearable, he said, and he tried to end it several times. It was the third attempt that landed him in hospital and eventually on the psych ward. And it was there that he found the beginning of his story. He decided he would go to a chapel service one day. He wasn't a religious person, but he said maybe it was desperation. Maybe, frankly, he was a little bored. There wasn't much to do. And during the service, Paul told me, the chaplain offered to anoint anyone who wished. And when he came to me, he looked down at my damaged wrists. "May I?" he said. And when I sort of nodded, he put the oils on my scars and he made the sign of the cross on each of my wrists. And he said it was like he was blessing the wounds that I had made. And then the chaplain told me that I was precious to God. Paul said something shifted inside of him at that moment, and he said for the first time in a long time, he felt the faint movement of hope. He started to cry, and as the tears washed down his face, he said, "That was when I decided I was going to get sober," Paul told me, "and that was the beginning of my new life." Well, each of us here we have beginning stories. We have stories that are about a beginning, a fresh beginning with God, a fresh beginning in our lives that has changed us. May not be as dramatic as Paul's story, but you all have a beginning story, and I'm guessing that you actually probably may have many beginning stories. And these stories are important because they tell us who we are. They tell us what we hope for. They tell us where we're going, and sometimes they even tell us who we're traveling with. Well, the Bible has lots of beginning stories, and today, on this feast day, the baptism of Jesus, we hear two really important beginning stories, and they are the beginning stories for our world, and also, if we wish, they are also our beginning story. And Michelle read to us the first one. It goes like this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of darkness. The biblical story of creation is not a scientific account of how creation began, and nor is it a story of creation out of nothing. Instead, this story of creation describes the creation of life and order out of wildness and chaos. There's actually already something there. The formless void in Hebrew is called tohu vavohu. darkness covering the face of the deep. And everything that is needed for a new beginning is actually right there. Now, darkness covering the deep on its own is just darkness covering the face of the deep. But Scripture tells us there was someone there. The Spirit that broods over the water is the Spirit of God. God, who knows how to bring light out of darkness. God, who can bring life even out of what is tohu bavohu. And we're told that God makes a decision. He will make something new. There will be a new beginning. Let there be light. And there was light. And we move into a longer passage that we didn't read today, but many of you are familiar with it. As we move along in this story, it becomes clear that while God is clearly the creator, he invites his creation to be involved, to become involved in this making of this new thing. Let the waters bring forth. Let the land produce vegetation. Let the animals be fruitful. Let the animals increase in number. And then, having made us in his own image, God invites us as humans to take a specific role in this ongoing work of creation. Humans are to subdue the earth. Do you remember that from Sunday school? Humans are called to subdue the earth. Subdue the earth, but this is before sin entered the world. Why would we need to subdue something that God declares as good? Does it make sense? Well, I think what happened is that it takes time for something new to become fully established. And I think, thinking of it that way, when we think about our own beginning stories, or even Paul's that I told you right now, it takes time. When God begins something new in the world or in our lives, it can take time for that new creation to become fully established. When God brings order out of chaos in our lives, and think of any moment in your life where there was chaos, it took time, right? And it also likely took your participation, as in Paul's story. Certainly in the story of creation, God doesn't see it as just his job to finish the work of creation. Everyone is expected to do their part in this new beginning. And it's not just something new and neutral. God says this is something new, and it's good, and it is full of life. And then there is the other beginning story. This was the gospel that Warren read to us. And in Mark's gospel, it's a little vague. The beginning is, it happens in the Jordan River. And John the baptizer is there, and he baptizes his cousin, Jesus. And we're told the heavens are torn apart, and the Spirit that brooded on the waters of creation descends with power. And I like John's gospel because although he starts in the same place, the idea of it as a beginning is more clear. Listen to this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. In him was life, and that life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Interesting, isn't it, that on the Sunday of Jesus' baptism, they choose to pair Genesis 1 and are reading about the story, the account of Jesus' baptism. And I think it's because we hear echoes of creation, the creation story, in the story of, in the account of Jesus' baptism. Because we're back in darkness, right? We need light. Why do we need light? Well, sin has entered the world. It's tohu bavohu all over again. And once again, for creation to live, what do we need? We need light. We need light. And who can call forth light in our world? It's God. And God does. He calls forth light. He sends us the light of the world. and he declares that light good. You are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased. Well, I think we've kind of tamed this account of Jesus' baptism with our sentimental pictures of baptism. I think partly it's the fault of the dove. You know, the Spirit came down like a dove. It sounds nice and sweet and safe. But the skies were torn asunder, and the Spirit that brooded over the waters of baptism descended with power, and a voice spoke, "You are my beloved." And I think we tend to domesticate what's happening here this morning with the baptism of three children. We call it sometimes christening. I don't like that because it makes it sound like we're talking about a domesticated animal like a cat or a pet gerbil. We're talking about baptism, the mystery that happens when the divine and human participation all come together as one. And there is mystery at this baptism that we are about to witness today. It is a new beginning for these little ones and for their families. It's a moment of decision. In creation, God decided that he would make something new, that he would bring life out of the void, to bring order to chaos. And what are we doing in baptism? In baptism, we are inviting Jesus in. We are inviting Jesus the light to bring light to our darkness, to bring order to the chaos of our lives. And we are agreeing to join with God as his co-workers. Creation is begun, and we are invited to join in this ongoing work of creation. Now, some say, of course, I've described a mystery, and some say, oh, not so much. It's just water that I'm pouring into this font. Just water, Oshawa's water from the tap. It's just words that we're saying, just promises. And the words that are declared over these children and the chrism with which I will anoint their head, it's just words. It's just oil. Who remembers their baptism anyways? What difference does it make? But Scripture tells us, and I certainly believe, that although it is human hands that pour these waters, the Spirit of God who hovered over the waters of creation is the same Spirit who hovers over these waters of new birth, of new life. And so it is actually true to say that God baptized you. It's actually true to say that it is God who will baptize Taya, Madison, and Brooklyn this morning. And it is God who declares them good, and who declares them his beloved daughters, and declares us his children. And for these three children, all of us who are baptized, God invites us to participate in this new beginning that he has made in Jesus. We are God's co-workers. Now, Scripture tells us that in Jesus we are made a new creation, and that is true. But we know with creation it doesn't end with a beginning, does it? It's an ongoing process. Scripture also tells us that, "For I am confident of this, that God who has begun a good work in you will carry it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus." And one of the ways that God invites us into this ongoing work of new creation in us and in our world is by living our baptismal promises. And we're going to be saying these promises together this morning for you who are coming to witness this baptism for the congregation. This is our chance to renew our commitment as the people whom God has baptized. And when we were going through baptismal preparation, Taya Madison and Brooklyn's parents were promising to show them what it looks like to walk in the way of Jesus, what it looks like, how to become God's co-workers in their lives. And then we, in turn, as the Christian community, offer to show them also the way by our example. And we make our promises out of a sense of joyful expectation. Joyful because we know that God is able to do a new thing. God is able to take the tohu vavohu of our lives, and God is able to breathe new life into what is broken. And we do so with expectation, as we remember all the new beginnings that God has done for us and in us in our lives, and we remember that not only is God able, but God is willing, and he is faithful. As we remember, as we witness this baptism this morning, I realize most of you will not remember your own baptism because you also were babies, but I invite you to reflect on what it means to be baptized, and maybe reflect on your beginning stories. What is your story or stories of new beginnings? When has God done something new for you in your life? And as you remember those stories, just take a moment to thank God, to thank God for his presence with you. Maybe you're here this morning and you feel like you're more in the tohu vavohu midst of things, and you really need God to do something new in you. And I invite you to lift that before God and to ask God's Spirit to fill you with power. And then watch for the signs of the Spirit in your life and be willing to join in. May God's Spirit bless and anoint and fill these three children this morning as they come forward to receive the sacrament of holy baptism. May God bless and empower their parents, their godparents. And may God fill all of us as we seek to live as the redeemed, renewed, new creations in Jesus Christ. Amen.